He was doing something good. He was teaching the word. But God was telling him, be a prophet, then teach. So we are very careful. And God tells you, minister by the anointing, then you minister by anointing and teach for only 20 minutes or half an hour. And God tells, teach the word. Yes, Lord, teach the word. See, we have to obey God and listen to His voice. The second area that will lead us into the permissive will is chapter 3. From chapter 1 to 11, there are six areas. Chapter 3, verse 2. And the Lord said to me, do not fear him, for I have delivered him and all his people and his land into your hand. You shall do to him as you did to Sihon, king of the Amorites. Now here is the battle that they have before they enter the land of Canaan. They have a few battles, if you remember. And during those battles, God talked to them about fear. That's the second thing. Fear must be conquered or it will drive you into the permissive will. The fear of people, the fear of whatever. You see, God gives you gifts. Some of you have to give up prophecy. Some of you may have to give up healing. But because of your fear, you allow permissive will to enter into your life. And you never function in the gifts of God that God wanted you to function in. Because of fear, some people don't enter the ministry when God called them. So they enter the permissive will. Because of fear, some people don't enter some areas. See, fear cripples you and causes you to be locked in the permissive will. When the Lord appeared to Canaan again, the first time, Hagin was already about 15 years in the ministry. And the Lord Jesus said, you have now entered the first phase of the ministry. Hagin looked at Jesus and said, Lord, I've been serving you for 15 years. Where was I? You see, now I enter the first phase. Jesus said, yes, before that. You were not fully doing what I wanted you to do. That is dangerous. And then Jesus added, some ministers die without entering the first phase. That's a frightening thought. So fear will cripple a person. We need to conquer fear and fear God above all else. So that we fear to displease our God. We fear to incur His displeasure. So much that we are willing to do anything God asks us to do without fear and without favor. Just wanting to obey Him. The third thing is found in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 4, verse 15. And it says, take careful heed to yourselves. For you saw no form when the Lord spoke to you at Horeb out of the midst of the fire. Lest you act corruptly and make for yourselves a calf image in the form of any figure, the likeness of male or female, the likeness of any beast that is on the earth, or the likeness of any winged bird that flies in the air, the likeness of anything that creeps on the ground, or the likeness of anything that is in the water beneath the earth. God said, no idolatry. No idols allowed. Now, if you examine it carefully, he's not just talking about people who do not know Him. It's not right for a Christian to go around and criticize somebody of another faith or another religion. I believe that is wrong. And I got scripture for you. In the book of Acts chapter 19, in the uproar in the book of in Ephesus, the town clerk came and said, in regard to Paul and the Christians, that they were neither robbers of temples nor blasphemers against your God. Talking about Diana, the goddess. And Paul, if you analyze it, was 3 years in Ephesus, preaching day and night. 2 of those years in the school of one Tyrannus. And during those 3 years, he didn't blaspheme the other people's gods and religion. So, when we are talking about point number 3, we are not talking about people who do not know the Lord. We are talking about Christians who have come to know the Lord, who have made a covenant with our God, entered a new covenant of the blood of Jesus Christ, and they make an idol in their home, in their house. What kind of idols? It's not necessarily something likened to the outside unbelievers' world. But anything. Notice, it says, you experienced God, you saw God, He didn't have a form, so don't try to make something to represent what you experienced. In other words, whenever you have experienced God, don't try to idolize the object of your experience in a physical form or shape. That is why it's very wrong for Christians to go about with Christian fetish. Like for example, just because the preacher moved powerfully and was standing over a piece of wood, and there was tremendous anointing. So after the meeting, they cut out the piece of wood. Put in small pieces and say, you know, hey, this is a piece of wood that Tan Ah Kau stood on. And then some will take it home and they will put it in their favorite prayer corner. And as they pray, they say the piece of wood that Tan Ah Kau stood on help them to worship God. See, when we take the experience of God and we try to use something natural to cause us to remember that, it becomes an idol. We must not. Humanly, we tend to have a habit of doing that. Now, we are not talking about using transmissions for the anointing. But even when we pray over handkerchiefs and cloths, we always express to people. And I'm very frank and honest with them. I say the anointing will last for a certain time. And after that, it will dissipate. And it depends on the level of the anointing imparted. And sometimes it can stay quite long. Like Elisha, when he died, his bones still had some anointing left. So when they threw a dead man into the well, the man got up. And the people who threw the dead man must have ran further. Bible didn't include that story. I mean, they were fighting and they threw the man in and then they started running. Suddenly this guy said, hey, get me out of here. They run faster still. But if he had thrown the second man into that well, that would be a burial. See, that was the final anointing that flowed out. That doesn't mean that from that day on, that man who resurrected quickly scraped some of Elisha's bones, took it out, and says, this is anointed bones. Maybe, why not better take the skull? Put it right in the house. Say, this is Elisha's skull. Right? No, they don't do all these things. Do you remember in the book of Kings, that after many, many, many generations, the bronze serpent that was in Moses' time that brought healing became an idol.
They started worshipping it. And they had to destroy it. God wanted it destroyed. See, that was not what God's intention. An instrument of an anointing should not become an idol. Sometimes it could be other areas. It becomes an idol. Anything that replaces teaching and the the need to study God's word to get into relationship with God is what I call a man-made shortcut. And Christians want shortcut. They don't want to pray. They don't want to read God's word. Talk about praying in tongues 1 hour, they think 1 minute is long enough. Talk about studying God's word, they say, isn't there something shorter? Now, devotional books are okay. Up to a certain point. But if you're a 20-year-old Christian and your devotional life is still mass-produced, there's something wrong with you. Say, what's wrong, brother? I tell you what you look like spiritually. You look like 21-year-old with a napkin sucking a milk bottle. I mean, if you're 20 years in the Lord and you cannot read the Bible for yourself, there's something wrong. Christianity has been so diluted. When will you ever read the Bible? 40 years? 70 years? So we must remember that anything that takes the need for homework, we need to get some work, homework, prayer with God, study God's word, ourselves becomes a diluted form of Christianity. And that's why people love idols or fetish, shortcuts, spiritual shortcuts, dangerous, get short-circuited too. And people don't want to pay the price, do the homework, don't want to get on their knees to pray 3, 4, 5 hours. They all want shortcuts. God is saying these last days, thou shalt have no more shortcuts. 4 point in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Now, there are many other sub-points around these 6 points, right? And I'm just giving you the major outline of these 6 points that cause God's people to go into the permissive view. And there are other descriptions. Like, for example, just now earlier, we covered that point. If you read the scriptures above it, you will notice that God tells you how not to have idol worship. How not to develop an attitude of taking a spiritual shortcut to an idol. See, up to a certain extent. And like, for example, just a little bit there, in Deuteronomy chapter 4, notice it says, in verse 9, it says, only take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life, and teach them to your children and your grandchildren. Do you know what he tells them? He says, you got to teach them. You got to talk about them. But you cannot build an idol. And it's easy to pass to your children. Make an idol of God. And then, when your children are there, say, hey, this is God. And then your children will pass to your grandchildren and say, this is God. There's no homework done. All you did is just take the object and pass it on. Pure laziness. But when you got to teach your children, you got to explain, your children will ask, where is God? How do I see Him? What is He like? And you've got to take time and teach them. Your own relationship with God, how you hear God, you teach them. It takes more time. Takes more homework. It's easier to pass to your children an object. Now take this, and this is God. Than to teach them what God is. And give them understanding of God.